All right. We're going to change where I was going to start, because Lord, I think, wants us to do this. Go to Psalms 64. Excuse me, Psalm 63. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about today, and then you'll see in this psalm, and I'll talk about what the Lord wants to do first. But the last time I taught, I began teaching on receiving from God. And let me just read you 1 John 3:22 while I'm at it. You don't need to go there. But it says, whatever we ask, talking about of God, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Receiving there is the Greek word lambano, which means to take hold of or to seize or to grasp. And I use the example, and I'll use Fred's phone with Shannon because I know the condition of it, and she'll give it back to him. But I can say, Shannon, this is a very nice phone, and I can hold it out all day long. I can do kind of like Andy did Sunday morning. This is for you. Who wants this? And what did Trey get up and run do? He got up and he took it. He received it unto himself. But if Trey hadn't gotten up, or Shannon didn't reach out and take this phone, then she would not have received what the Lord was giving. Yes, not just that He wanted to give, what He, let's say it this way, is giving.
Yes.
And so we began to teach last week about how do I improve my receiving? What do I need to do? And where the Lord started us off last week was with talking about guarding our heart, or 3 weeks ago, guarding our heart, and how important that is to put us in that position to receive. And we're not going to reteach all that this morning, but we also saw that everything we get from God, and we looked at a bunch of scriptures that talks about receive, 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 receive. And so it's something we have to do. Well, I had a vision of where that teaching was going. And last week, as I was on my lawnmower, that changed dramatically. And so what I want to talk to you today about in context of receiving is faith in His power for me. Faith in His power, but that last part is important, for me. So let's go look at this Psalm 63, and I may bring it back up in a minute, but I want to give you a context of what we're going to be talking about, and I want us to do what this psalm says. And I'm reading from New American Standard. We're going to start in verse 1. And it says, O God, Thou art my God. I seek Thee early, or my translation says, earnestly, which is why I believe you're here. My soul thirsts for you, for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, dry and weary land where there is no water, to me that has a connotation of a place where the Spirit is not moving as He wants to. In other words, there's no power being demonstrated there. And then the next verse says, and this is David writing this when he's out in the wilderness. And he says, Thus I have beheld you, or beheld thee in your sanctuary. to see thy power and thy glory. To see your power and your glory. So we might say, Lord, you know the things that are going on in our nation. We're not seeing a lot of what we know you want to be seeing with your power and your glory. But we've gathered here this morning, and this says he's beheld that power and that glory. And that's what we ought to be saying too, is Lord, we've beheld your power and your glory. And then the next verse says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. And you remember the song we used to sing that to this, these verses? My lips will praise you, thus will I bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name. So as we start this morning, join me and let's just take a few moments and let's dedicate ourselves to this morning to see his glory and his power in here because of his loving kindness. And because he is so gracious to give us that, then let's just take a moment and lift our hands up and worship and praise him. Stand up if you want to, if you feel led, don't have to. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. We lift up our hands to worship you. We honor you. We say we see your glory. We see your power. We see it demonstrated here, Father. Thank you, Father, for your love, your loving kindness that gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I lift my hands up in thy name, O Lord. I lift my hands up in thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we look this morning to see your glory and your power manifested here for us this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, I want you to go to 2 Peter. First chapter, and this is a verse that we read last week, and this is what the Lord took me back to as I began to put notes together earlier this week. And to be honest with you, I had forgotten that this is where I started last week. So we want to start in the second verse of 2 Peter 1. Grace. And can you put this up in the New American Standard, in the NAS? That'll help me. Grace and peace, a free gift of grace. Peace, and a good definition for peace is rest and confident trust. And you can get that out of Isaiah 32:17. So grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of the Lord God and of Jesus our Lord. Now the word knowledge there is a word that doesn't just mean head knowledge. It means experiential knowledge. It means a knowing or having experienced it. So grace and peace. And we don't have much trouble with that, do we? Because we're taught a lot about grace. We know about peace and we say, yes, Lord, we've experienced some of that and we can believe that easily. Look at what it says in the next verse. Seeing that his divine power, you might say the word in the King James is according to thy divine power. but it's not the word that's normally used for according. It's another one. It means in the same manner as. So what he's beginning to say here is that in the same manner, your divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. How? In the same way. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So again, this morning, I want to focus on how we can improve our receiving. And we're going to do that by a focus on his divine power, which has granted or provided to us everything we need. I'm tempted to get ahead of myself, but let's jump. I want to do, where'd you put that microphone, Trey? I want to, right now, share two testimonies with you. And I'm going to ask my sister Patricia to do the first one. And I want to do this because, again, our focus is on power. So you can just stand up there, if you would, and share what happened a couple of weeks ago.
I have a friend who used to work for me, and she has had some cancer, and she's been cancer-free for over a year now. Well, we have a group that gets together that I used to work with that and go to lunch sometimes. So we went this particular day. It was on a Thursday, and she talked to me afterwards, and she said, "I need to talk to you." She said, "I went to the doctor. They found a lump in my breast, and I'm really scared." She said, I had an MRI, and it's there, and they want to do an ultrasound to localize it a little better. And she said, "You know, I just don't want to have to go through all this again." So I said, "Well, let me pray for you." So I talked to her about how much God loved her. She is saved, you know, and so she knows that the Lord's been with her. So I prayed for her. And I said, "I'll pray for you on that day that you go for the ultrasound, but then I want you to call me and let me know what happened." And so she did. It was the next Wednesday that she had it, and she called and she started crying. And she said, the girl was doing the ultrasound, and she said she was really hurting me. She said she kept pressing and she kept looking and doing all these things. She finally went and got another person to do it as well, and they said, "We don't see anything." So then she goes to her doctor. I know, praise God. She goes to her doctor, and he comes in and he says, "I don't know what happened. You know, it's not there." She said, I do. So she told him all about me praying for her. And he said, "Well, it's not there. We'll see you in 6 months." So praise God.
Now, the point I want to begin to make here is that what came on the scene to get rid of that? The power of God. The divine power of God at some point came on the scene and destroyed that yoke of bondage that was there. It didn't just shrink it. It did what? It obliterated it. It got rid of it. Now, Trey and I didn't plan those verses at all. Now, I want to give you another quick testimony. And I'm not going to give you a lot of detail, so just understand that. But about, well, it was 3 weeks ago. I had someone come up in the prayer line here at Healing School afterwards, and they asked for prayer for their family, for sons, and not walking with the Lord as they should, different stages, some problems as well with it. And my normal tendency would be just to pray. But I waited a second, and we waited quietly, and the Lord spoke, and I asked a question. She answered it, and I said, "Well, let's pray in this manner." And so we broke some of the power of the enemy over her sons. And a week or so later, I saw her, and she was just beaming. She said, "I have a son who is now calling my daughter, who said, 'Would you believe that so-and-so is called, and he's asking me about the Holy Spirit? So what do we know happened to that person? The same power that acted to take out cancer acted on her behalf. Amen. Toward her some children to draw them into that relationship where they need to be with him. Amen. Now, we don't think a lot of times about that same power. And as a result, I think there's a lot of us, and understand my heart when I say this, because this is what the Lord has said to me about myself as well. We don't see his power working in the same way when we've got something big that needs to come on the scene. And we don't recognize that we've already tasted of his good power in the things which maybe don't seem as big. Do you understand the context that I'm talking about in this? And there's been some misuse. We've probably all been in prayer lines where you felt like somebody was trying to push you down. And what does that do? That creates an attitude that we have that if we are not careful, it will cause us not to necessarily resist, but not to receive the power of God that he's wanting to put out to accomplish whatever he wants. So that's what I really want to talk about. Romans 1:16. You know it. For I am not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is what? The power of God. The gospel. The good news about Jesus. The good news about what he has given. What he has done for us. The good news about what he wants to do today for you. The good news about what he wants to do next week, next month, next year for you. That good news is the power of God. But not for everybody. It's the power of God for salvation. Now people say, yeah, for salvation. But I've written down in my Bible, out beside that verse, deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness, wholeness. It is everything. The word that salvation comes from, soteria, is the comes from a word, sozo, or sozo. And that word is used over 20 times and translated healing or soundness. So what do we tend to do sometimes? We tend to compartmentalize what the power of God is and how it's going to be used. And when we do that, Psalm 78, verse 41, I think it is, talked about the Hebrew children, and it said, they limited God. Well, I'm not going to limit God with his power. If you don't embrace it, and you're going to see in a minute, have faith in it, and believe for it, you just limited it. So that's the awareness. So word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the anointed, or the word of God. The word of the anointed, or I would say the anointed word. If you come here, I believe you hear anointed word. So we're going to look at some anointed word this morning about the power of God. Now, before we do, let's define power. Power in the New Testament is generally the word dunamis, from which we get dynamite. And it literally means a force. It comes from a word in the Greek language that's dunamahi, or something similar to that. And that word means to make or to be possible. So I might define then power as that power, that force, which makes possible. What does it make possible? Anything too hard for you? There is nothing too hard for you. So that power that makes possible what is impossible. Isn't that what Nicodemus thought? You mean I got to be born again? That same power. In fact, it took more power for us to be born again. We'll see that in a moment. Than it does for him to do a restoration or a healing. That same power. Now go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And we're going to look at the 5th verse. Now this scripture is in the context, in the middle of people who have come to know the Lord, experienced Him, and turn away from it. That's not what we're talking about today. What we're focusing on today is when you're walking with the Lord and knowing the Lord as they had, what is available to us. And it says here that they have tasted of the good word of God. Now, we would all accept that. Those of you who come to this church, we get to taste. And if you taste it, taste something, what do you have to do? You have to take it and receive it into yourself. We get to taste that good word all the time. And so what the Lord began to ask me the other day concerning this verse is, do you go to healing school? And I knew He was talking about days I wasn't teaching. To taste the good word? Or do you go to healing school to taste the good word and the powers of the age to come? And if I'm honest, a lot of times my anticipation in what the teacher is going to teach is in me hearing a good word. And let me just be blunt with you. I appreciate greatly all of you who say, "Minton, I was blessed by what you taught this morning." But you know what my interest is? Is that you taste of the good word and of the powers of the age to come. So let me say it this way. I have tasted of the good word of God, and I've tasted of the force that makes possible that which is impossible. Amen. So what is our expectation? Because what we are expecting or anticipating, that's what we're most likely to get. So my encouragement for us today is expanded. Not just hearing a good teaching, but let's believe what we said in when we looked at Psalm 63 a while ago. About in the sanctuary, in your sanctuary, Lord, David said, "I have seen and tasted of your glory and your power." Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Now again, if we're tasting something, we're going to receive into us. I want you to look at John, the 11th chapter. In John 11, Lazarus has been sick. Jesus delayed his coming because I believe he was led to. He gets there and Lazarus is dead. And we're going to just read. In fact, let's just go to the end and we'll back up. We're going to read verse 40 first. So John 11, verse 40. Mary and Martha have come to Jesus. They've talked to Him. And Jesus goes and He says, "Remove the stone from the tomb, from the cover." And she said, "Lord, by this time He stinketh." And it didn't faze Him. Look at what Jesus said to her. Verse 40. "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now I want to tell you, when we see God's glory, He's got a twin right there with it called power. Glory and power, you can almost use them interchangeably there. The Gospels, Jesus talks about Himself coming in glory and in power. And why am I saying this? Because I want us to elevate the level of our anticipation. I want our faith to grow concerning that when we hear the Word of God taught, we can anticipate His glory and His power coming on the scene with us. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:9. This scripture talks about what those who don't know Jesus are going to miss. And it ties right in with the scripture we talked about earlier being in the middle of those. Verse 9 says, talks about those who pay the penalty of eternal destruction, those who don't accept Jesus, they're going to be away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So again, his glory and his power. Now, what did we read first? We get grace, we get peace, and it comes to us in the same manner as his divine power, which is what provides what? All things pertaining to life and to godliness. So I just want this begin to be tasted. Get it down inside you. Now, that's why I wanted to look at Psalm 63 earlier. That's why we did look at it. David said he's beheld in his sanctuary both his power and his glory. He's seen that manifested presence of God come on the scene, and he's seen, when it does, the power that results from it. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll see what Paul says. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about his visit with them. First verse. And he says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." I know how he feels, because there are times when I say, "Lord, why in the world did you call me? I'm not eloquent. And what do? I'm not this. I'm not that." And after a while, guess what I'm doing? Resisting his power that has been placed in me. And then he goes on to say, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ, "and him crucified." And then verse 3 talks about, "with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling." Verse 4, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom." Now let me stop there. I believe what Paul says is, and let me do say, I believe his words were anointed, because we have them recorded here. So his message was anointed. His message, his preaching was anointed. But what he's saying is, I don't care that you remember me and what I spoke. What I'm interested in is that next phrase, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And I know that's the heart of Robert and Trey, that when we are sharing in the morning, yes, we want to share the anointed word. We want it to flow logically and it to go be spoken well, because sweetness of lips improves the learning, Proverbs tells us. But you know what my interest is? In seeing everyone who comes in here with a need set free. When? Today. And I'm just going to tell you, if we don't get our expector up, if we are come only to expecting to hear a good teaching, not saying that's wrong. We want to hear a good teaching. We want to have it because it increases our faith. But we need to come also expecting to see not Trey's power, not Minton's power, but his power working in us for you. And so that's the way you need to begin to see. His power works for me. Make it personal. Now, look at the fifth verse. Why do we want that? So that your faith won't rest on me, because when I miss it, I don't want your faith to be impacted. I want your faith to be what? On the power of God. Now, this sounds almost silly. Everybody would say, "I know God's powerful. Right? Look, he created the earth. Look what he did." Romans 1, a few verses later, tells us that his goodness and power are displayed throughout. But those people who choose not to believe won't see it. But the question is, do you believe in his power for you.
Amen.
Because if it, what does Robert say? If this revelation doesn't get inside you, if it just stays up in our head, it won't do us any good. And we don't want to do anything to hinder what the Lord is doing. Look at Ephesians 1. His power, His divine power, given to you in a similar way as His grace is. Verse 18. No, let's start in 17. Ephesians 1, 17. Paul is talking about here in the apostolic prayer that he's giving thanks for you while making mention of you in our prayers in 16. And then he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, so we know that there's power there with that glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That word for knowledge there is the same word we read in 2 Peter 1 that wants you to experience it. It's not a spirit of wisdom and revelation just so you can know things and know more. It's a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can act and deliver what the Lord is wanting you to do, so that you act wisely and in His matters. And what is He doing there? And the next verse, he prays that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened so that we would know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us, the saints. In other words, in you. Riches of the glory of you. Riches of His glory of you. And then the next verse. And what is the surpassing? Now that word literally means to throw beyond the mark. If I'm a baseball player, and Dale Murphy was a catcher for the Braves in the early part of his career, then he ended up playing center field. The reason he did was because when he caught the ball and tried to throw a runner out to second, he threw it most all the time surpassing the mark. In other words, he threw it out into center field instead of to second base. That's the way the Lord views His power toward y'all. Beyond where you ever think it. Let me say it this way. Beyond the limit that you place on it. And do you know that's what that word, when it says they limited God in Psalm 78, 41, it literally means to etch or to make a mark in the sand. And how many of us have made a, Lord, I know You can do this, but beyond that mark, I don't know that it's possible. Do you ever double dare somebody when you were a kid, step across that line? You know, you ladies probably didn't, but us guys probably got double dared several times. That's what he's talking about. And then it continues on. The surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Now stay at 19 a minute. Can you put that up in Amplified easily? If you can't, I'll just read it. But I really want you to see it with your own eyes if he can do that. See the phrase there of His power toward us who believe? The Amplified, down in about the fifth line, said, the greatness of His power in who? In us who believe. The greatness of His power for who? For you who believe. And how great is that power? And okay, you can go back. Thank you, Bruce. How great is that power? These are in this power that's allocated to us are in accordance or in proportion with the working of the strength of His might. Or the the King James reads it a little bit differently. But what he's saying there, that word strength there, it is a word which literally means a power that is the power of a, like an Olympic weightlifter. Down in Vidalia, there's Paul Anderson Youth Home. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. But Paul Anderson was an Olympic weightlifter years and years ago. He actually lived near where we lived in Tennessee, was born where we lived in Tennessee. And what did he do? He went around demonstrating his power. That's what that word means. It's talking about a power toward us, which is to be a demonstration of his might. When? When there's an impossibility staring at you. How big an impossibility? Why don't we look at it with the right attitude and say, how little a possibility? So, he goes on then to say that this is the same strength, the same demonstration of his might that he used when he brought about Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father. Key takeaway in this, who is this power in today? You believe? If you do, raise your hand and say, it's in me. Who is it for? It's for anyone who would believe. Well, that says to me that we have the ability to receive his power when I have a need, and I have an ability to deliver it to someone when they have a need. In and for me. Ephesians 6:10.
Thank you, Lord.
Finally, brethren, as Trey said, he's not concluding here. He's saying this is the most important part. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength, King James says, power of his might. This is a time where you have the exact same phrase that we just looked at used with those exact same words. He's telling you and I to be strong in the Lord, in that power that he desires. Let me say that differently. He's asking us to be strong in the Lord, in his power, that we might demonstrate his power for all to see. So let me ask the question again. Is that our expectation when we come in here on Thursday mornings? And you may say, well, I'm coming, but I don't really have a big need today. Well, let's open up our heart of compassion. Because last week, when Robert asked the question, how many have a need physically they'd like to be met, we filled this whole place up. Let's expand our love to just beyond our looking at ourselves and see this power being able to be demonstrated here. Not just so we can see it. Let me tell you, I've said it once, but it's worth saying again. Like many of you, I have said, Lord, I want to see your miracles. Lord, I want to see your miracles. And he said to me, in essence, when you learn to walk in my compassion and love, then you won't have to ask to see my miracles. What does that mean? That means I put his kingdom first. What matters to him matters to me. You know what matters to him? You to be set free and have the yoke removed from you of whatever's holding you in check. That's what matters to him this morning. Now let's look at just a couple more verses. Romans 15, 18. Paul, in talking about preaching the gospel, says, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. And this 19 is the verse I want to look at. In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. So what is he saying here? He's saying, I want to not only preach and see them respond to the words, but I also want to see the Lord work on their behalf with power, with signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. So that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. This says to me that in Paul's eyes, if he taught a good sermon and he didn't see the power come on the scene that in his eyes he hadn't fully preached the gospel. Well, folks, we don't want to do anything concerning the Lord halfway here. We want to see, we want to fully see the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders. Acts 10:38. You know that scripture very well. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? Amen. The Holy Ghost and with power. It's that twin that comes right along. And he went about doing what? Yes. Doing good. He didn't go about just baking cakes. That's good. If you want to know what kind of like or Trey likes, just ask. We'll tell you. But to him, fully preaching the gospel to Jesus was what? Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now, Acts 1:8 tells us that you shall receive power from on high so that you shall be a witness. Now, what does a witness do in a court? A witness tells about what they experienced, what they saw, what they heard. A witness does not have to know all the details of the law. A witness just says, the Lord spoke to me, I heard this word, I believed it, and his power came on me, and he wants to do the same thing for you.
Amen.
We too often think a witness is, I got to memorize 20 scriptures that I can repeat real fast when I'm telling somebody about Jesus. If we would be able to talk to them about the power that has been demonstrated on and in us, what would happen? We would have people flocking to hear. Look at the end of Mark 16, last chapter. Mark 16. I have gone through my Bible, particularly the Gospels and also in the book of Acts, and there's a couple in the other chapters, and marked every time it talked about Jesus preaching and healing, or healing and preaching, or Paul teaching the word and someone being healed. You'll see these go along together. And I say that because I want to get down and look at verse 20. Thank you for putting it right there. And this is right after he tells us what we're going to do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says, they went out and preached. That word literally means proclaimed. What did they proclaim? The good news of the gospel. And what comes with that good news of the gospel? Power. While the Lord worked with, now I want to tell you that word them is not in the original Greek. Now, I know that the Lord was working with them as men, but it's important we see this. While the Lord worked with and confirmed the word, while the Lord worked with the word that they testified and confirmed the word of their testimony. And how did he do it? By the signs that followed. This is the normal Christian life. This is what we're to do. He's not working just with us. He's working with those words we put out. And whose words do we proclaim? The good news about Jesus. What he's done for us. Consider, and I want to begin to wrap up with this. How often it talks about Jesus, the people came to Jesus to hear and to be healed. And then quite often, after they heard what he said and they asked for something, he would say, "It by your faith you've received." So we can receive that power on our own without anybody doing anything to us.
Right.
By hearing the word, the anointed word.
Amen.
Believing it, and receiving the power that comes along with it. I know from personal experience, some of you are doing that today. and are standing strong in that, and your healing will come. We also see, though, that in His mercy, the Lord has given us power gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, the gift of special faith, the gift of miracles. Why? So that there is an additional way that He can minister to you and I when we are not at our best. And what is He doing there? This is coming as the Spirit wills, but we want to get our will in line with His.
Amen. Amen.
And He wills to do it.
That's right.
For everyone who will receive it.
Thank you, Lord.
And then finally, Jesus, I believed, walked in a strong healing anointing. It said He walked in the anointing without measure. And all that simply means to me is that if you took the whole body of Christ today and put us all together, that's the same anointing on us that He walked in. So we've all got different parts of that. So there are parts, there are people in the body of Christ who have an anointing on their life to lay hands on people. And the Lord uses them to deliver healings just like He did with Jesus. Varying degrees. And many of us have been in prayer lines where we've had people pray for us in that way. How merciful God is that I haven't got to be perfect in my faith to please Him. I've just got to have that faith, and He's merciful to give me different ways to receive of what? That power. But you know what? The woman with the issue of blood, she was one of many that touched Jesus that day. Now it says she had heard about Jesus, and to me that says she heard about the power that He had. Because when He put His hands on somebody or when somebody touched Him, things happened. She didn't hear an exposition of teaching. So what did she have faith in? Faith in the power that He was anointed with. Now let me say also, she didn't understand how that happened. You hadn't got to understand how it happens to believe it. That's just a choice we make. So what I feel like I've been led to do today, and if Trey or Robert have any inclinations to support it or otherwise, they're free to share it. But I feel like the Lord has said today, if there are any that are sick among us, let them come up. And He's told me to lay hands on you. Now, why you? I don't know. Ask Him. Okay? I will say, I believe the confession we made in Luke 4 about myself. When Trey said it and said at the end, I say, that's me. I said that with confidence. So when someone lays hands on you in a healing line, whose power is it? Is it theirs? I don't want you coming to me or to Trey or to Robert or going to anyone thinking you're there to receive the power of that person.
Amen.
When you come up to have hands laid on you by whoever is doing that, then I want you to come believing that His power, the same power that's in you, is in the one who's going to do the laying on of hands. And when they lay hands on you, it's really going to be the power of God flowing into you and the power of God rising up in you in your spirit and just pervading your whole body. Because those two agree on matters. The Spirit in you and the Spirit in the one who's teaching, if you're really teaching and believing in the Spirit, they will agree. Why is it important about laying on of hands? Look at the book of Habakkuk. Or either we'll just put it up on the screen. Third chapter. And we'll start in the third verse. Habakkuk 3. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Pause and think about that. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of His praise. Okay, fourth verse. His radiance is like the sunlight. Now, let's just stop there. Scientists are basically discovering that anything that has to do with power has a source in light. Then it says, he has rays. King James says horns. The word literally means the horn of an animal, but it also implied in the Arabic world they lived in, flashing of rays, like lightning. So, he has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Whose image are we created in? So what do you believe is happening when people lay hands on you and confess the Word of God? Do you believe that power can flow from their hands just like it says it flows from the hands of the Lord? Yes. That's what we're believing. So today, if you got ailments in your body, then number one, I want you to just be quiet before the Lord and seek. Is there the faith? Am I positioned to receive that myself right now? If there's not, then Trey and others are here to hear from the Lord and receive direction from the Holy Spirit so that we can see gifts of healing or working of miracles or gifts of faith manifested to you. And then thirdly, the Lord has instructed me to lay hands on you. Now, how many people other than the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus that day? Why didn't they receive like she did? Because they didn't touch him with faith, with believing. So we want to come with an expectation, not that I'm something special, but that there is a power that dwells in me that I can use to lay hands on you, and his power through my hands will make you free. The anointing breaks the yoke. Do you have anything you want to add? So, if you have ailments, then or any oppression or things that's bothering you, then if you will and you want to, no compelling, come up and let's see the power of God flow in this place today. Amen.